by the grace of Almighty God, this is my third Christmas with you here at St. Felix and St. Agnes Parishes. What a blessing it is to celebrate this third Christmas with you. Thanks be to God. And I probably have not told you in these past 3 years what my favorite prayer is. Now, of course, my favorite public prayers are the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the Divine Office. But what is my favorite private prayer? The answer? The Angelus. The Angelus. All my friends will tell you that's my favorite private prayer. When the church bells ring at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m., these bells call us to stop and to pray a very old prayer, the Angelus, which calls to mind at the beginning, middle, and at the end of our day, the very, very beginning of our salvation in Christ Jesus. In the Angelus prayer, there are three scriptural stanzas. The first two are from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. And we say the Hail Mary. That's all from Luke's gospel. The second stanza, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And a second Hail Mary. Again, all from St. Luke's gospel. But the last stanza of the Angelus is from the beginning of St. John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, that we heard proclaimed this Christmas morning. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And just like at Mass, when we pray those words, we genuflect, or at least make a profound bow. Why? We call to mind the Christmas mystery every single day, when the eternal Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came down from heaven, so we get down on our knees in humility at such a holy mystery. Jesus becoming flesh is called the incarnation, from the Latin meaning literally in the flesh. And Peter Kreeft, a Catholic philosophy professor at Boston College, says that the incarnation is the most astonishing of all God's acts, the most surprising, unforeseeable, unimaginable thing that ever happened. The immortal God, who has no beginning or end, became a mortal man. The author of all history stepped into the drama he created and became one of his own characters without ceasing to be the author. St. Augustine would say it this way, he whom the world could not contain was contained in a mother's womb. Think about it. Jesus becoming flesh is the most shocking, surprising, unexpected thing to ever hit the universe. That the God of all creation, the God who made the moon and the stars and the sun and the planets and the galaxy and the universe, the author of all creation, would become in time one of his own creatures to save us. The all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal God came to dwell with us, his own creatures. He wanted to dwell with us. He wanted to become so small that he would live inside the womb of his mother for 9 months. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is important to mention at this point in our reflection that our translation, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, although a perfectly good translation, is not a perfect translation. St. John wrote his gospel in Greek, and in the original Greek, it actually says this, and the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. That's what it says. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. That's why if you go to visit the beautiful city of Nazareth and to visit the home of Mary there, the church that they built on that spot looks like a tent. That's where Jesus first pitched his tent among us, 9 months before he was born, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. His first tent, or tabernacle, because the word tabernacle means tent, was the womb of Mary. This is a very visual picture that St. John gives us. And the Word became flesh, and he pitched his tent among us. To me, that shows two things. First of all, it shows us the absolute humility of Jesus. Would you leave your beautiful home to go live in a cardboard box to save a poor, homeless person? But that's what Jesus did. Would you leave your nice, warm home to go live in a doghouse? But that's what it was like for Jesus, to leave heaven and to live with us, poor creatures. Second, it is important to note that a tent is not a permanent dwelling. Our permanent dwelling is in heaven. Jesus pitched his tent with us for a very short time. It was just 33 years. But he pitched his tent with us in order to make sure that we would get safely home to the permanent dwelling he has prepared for each of us in heaven. Jesus dwelt with us so that we could dwell with him. Jesus dwelt with us, lived with us, pitched his tent with us so that we could dwell with him. And Jesus still pitches his tent among us in all the tabernacles of the world. Here, he truly dwells among us. He is made flesh for us at every Mass so that he will find an even more precious tent, an even more precious tabernacle in which to dwell, the tabernacle of our soul. May the dwelling of Jesus in the tabernacle of our soul not be temporary, but permanent, so that our souls can dwell permanently with him forever in heaven. Amen.